All right, brother. Thank you so much. Good morning, Kingwood. I'm delighted to see you again. And for those of you who may be new here, or perhaps we've just had clean misses on the Sundays I've been here, my name is Ronnie. I live about 50 miles south down in Sugarland. And I'm honored to be here from time to time. Lord willing, I'll see you again in a couple of weeks. And I plan to talk in a couple of weeks on life's most underrated spiritual skill. But the title of today's message is A Better Way to Relate. Now, at the outset, let me just ask for your indulgence, and let me offer an apology, and ask for your grace and mercy to me today. I love coming here, and I love sticking around afterwards and chatting with you. Last time I was here, I stayed for about an hour and had wonderful conversations. Today, I've got to leave quickly. And so, as soon as I finish, I need to be out the door. There's somewhere I need to be around lunchtime. I'm going to be late, but that's okay. I still need to be there as soon as I possibly can. And then I've got to be somewhere else after that. I am retired, but I'm still semi-responsible, okay? Not completely responsible, but it's still semi-responsible. But it is a delight to be here. And I think I've told you before, but let me just say it again. I like you people. And I like you. I enjoy being with you. My wife Martha and I, we pray for the Kingwood Church, and we pray for you in your minister search. But, you know, you don't just need to get wrapped up in that one thing, because this church is more than a minister search. We pray for you and that you will grow in faith and hope and in love. So today's message basically comes out of Romans chapter 12. So if you've got your Bible, be turning to Romans chapter 12. Now, you're entitled to your own opinion on the matter. But my take, my conviction is that the greatest power in the universe is the power of Christian love, Christ-like love. Nothing releases that kind of energy, nothing is more transforming at the end of the day in the power of Christ-like love. And when you read Romans chapter 12, it starts by giving you a summary of everything that's happened before. And he'll say, the Apostle Paul will say, brothers and sisters, I urge you, listen, in view of the mercies of God. I want everybody to say mercies of God. You ready? One, two, three. Mercies of God. Do you know how much God loves you? If you are a proud person, if you are a person who's so easily offended, if you've got such thin skin, if you are so proud and haughty, you think everybody should march to your beat, I'm going to urge you to humble yourself, come before the cross of Jesus Christ, Jesus, who is the most humble person ever. The cross, the most humble event ever. And as Christians, we are shaped, or should be shaped, by the love, the grace, the mercy of our God. And in view, he says, of God's mercy to us. Let's reflect it. Let's take that grace and not be a black hole. Let's take that mercy and not just be selfish with it. Let's take that mercy. Let's take the mercies of God and pass them along to others. And actually, the church is a mercy community. It should be. I'm not saying that God's mercy completely eradicates our human nature. Not at all. We're fallen people. We're opinionated people. I'm opinionated. You ask my opinion, I've got one about everything. And I'm right. At least I think I am. Why can't you people just be normal like me, right? You know, you're the same way. You are. And so what we have to do, we have to allow the mercies of God to shape our marriage, and listen, to shape our churches. Otherwise, we're just going to be beating each other up with our own preferences and opinions. In fact, the book of Galatians says, if you don't watch out, you keep picking at each other, you're going to bite and devour your church. How many churches have you seen where people looked around and they go, what? What happened here? I'll tell you what happened here. Not some big great white shark came in and just swallowed the church. Just minnow bite after minnow bite. And they nibbled the spirit right out of that church. God doesn't give you the right to pick your brothers and sisters to pieces. Let me say it again. God doesn't give you the right to pick your brothers and sisters to pieces. He gives you a calling to build one another up in the love of God. I don't have any sermon points today. We're just going to read the text and walk through it. Here we go. Romans chapter 12, starting verse 9. Love must be sincere. There you go. Love must be sincere. Some translations will say without hypocrisy. In other words, don't be like a Judas who kissed Jesus on the cheek, but behind his back was working to throw him under the bus. Don't be like that. Now, some of you have a superficial view of the term sincerity and hypocrisy. You think if you do something that you don't feel like doing, that's being hypocritical. That's not true. Doing the right thing when you don't feel like doing the right thing, it's not hypocritical. It's called character. And when you do the right thing, even though you may not feel like, you feel like giving a punch in the gut, or in refined circles, you feel like just giving them the silent treatment. That's what you get from me. You get the silent treatment. But you do the right thing regardless of how you feel, because you're going to follow Jesus and honor Him. You're going to let the mercy of Jesus shape how you relate. You're going to have a better kind of relating. Let it start in your marriage, bring it into your church. Love must be sincere. Next, be devoted to one another in brotherly love, devoted to each other. We're going to work this and with a family style. My mom grew up, my mom's been with the Lord. She passed away in November of 2013, been a while. She was a fantastic person, great person. She grew up in Linville, Tennessee. Now, if you're not from Tennessee, you would probably pronounce it Linville, but that would be incorrect. It's Linville, Tennessee. It's a little small town, and when you enter the town, it's just a small road. And I'll tell you what, the road is not much wider than this aisle right here. And there are two churches as you enter the little town of Linville. And both churches are actually quite close to the road. Their front doors are out front, and you have to park around the sides and back. Both churches like that. And my mom would say, and I don't know if she's making this up, but she said, Ronnie, when I was a teenage girl, one Sunday, the church on this side of the road was singing, Will There Be Any Stars in My Crown? And this church over here, and they both had their front doors open so you could hear them. Will there be any stars in my crown? And this church on this side of the road was singing, No, not one, no, not one. If we're not careful, we can find reasons to create division. But let's work at it. Be devoted to one another and brotherly love. And then he says, share, honor one another above yourselves, right? So then share with God's people who are in need and practice hospitality. Share with one another need. You know, you find needs and just, I think you excel at that. You find ways to serve each other, and you do that, and to practice hospitality. I really appreciate people who are good at entertaining. That's wonderful. But please don't confuse entertaining with meeting a practical need. That's hospitality. It might, you know, in our culture, it might be you send a gift card. Maybe you prepare a meal and you take it over. Sometimes that's not possible to do, but when you practice hospitality, and it can be in your home, or it can be something that you arrange, maybe at a restaurant, but I have found over the years that if you can gather a small group together, and not just your best friends all the time, but you look to create opportunities to come together with no agenda. And you simply say, our agenda is just going to be, let's just visit and chat and get to know each other. Maybe share a recent high and a recent low in your life. But you pray beforehand and you ask God to show up in this meeting. And you'll be surprised at some of the good things that will come out of this. And so share with God's people who are in need. He says practice hospitality. And again, all this is motivated by what? The mercy of Christ to us that we're passing along to others. And then he says, rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. And please don't hydroplane over this. This is a calling for us to actually practice what I would call spiritual and emotional schizophrenia. Over the years in being in ministry, be at church, and you can just imagine after a service, I'm standing around, I'm chatting with lots of folks, hundreds of people, and one person comes up and says, hey, Ronnie, got that promotion. Fantastic. That's wonderful. That's great. Next person, Ronnie, I don't know if you heard, but we had some big layoffs, and I'm afraid I'm one of them. Oh, that's terrible. And in this church, in the body of believers here, you'll need to practice spiritual schizophrenia and tap into your emotional intelligence, and you can do this. You can do this. You can rejoice with those who rejoice. Don't be the kind of person who somebody else has something wonderful happen to them, and you go, well, it must be nice. You could be that, you know, rain on everybody's parade. Don't be the, oh, must be nice person. No, rejoice with those who rejoice. And mourn with those who mourn. Where you practice the spiritual practice of just presence. Because when you're present and you mourn with those who mourn, there's a strength transfusion that occurs. And it's a beautiful thing. And do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. My friend, nothing wounds a church like pride. Nothing builds a church like humility. Nothing wounds a marriage like pride. Nothing builds a church like humility. When I'm proud in a church, I think of me, my preferences, what I want, what I'd like to see happen. I'm sitting back taking the temperature of the church. You see, my friends, most local churches are way overmanaged and undernurtured. God calls us to nurture. Yes, there needs to be some management that occurs. It doesn't need to be by everybody. And most local churches are way overmanaged and undernurtured. And pride, it shows up in a lot of different ways. You know, I need to make that call. I need to know who's making that call, and they need to have, I need their ear. I need to know exactly what's going on there. Here's what needs to happen for my kids, my grandkids. It's about me, my preferences, my kids, my... Humility says there's more than one voice here, more voices than mine. We have an eldership, and I'm going to trust and honor and submit and be that team player. And so he just says, in view of God's mercies, don't be proud. Be willing to associate with people of low position. In other words, even those who don't have a strategic benefit to you. And do not be conceited. And then he says, and do not repay anyone evil for evil. And be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. And if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. That's a fantastic principle. As far as it depends on you, it may not depend on me. Some people are impossible to please. But as far as it depends on you, as far as it depends on me, seek to have this wide bandwidth of peaceability. And this is a beautiful thing here. And as believers, let me just urge you to grow your bandwidth of peaceability. And then he says, do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. And on the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you'll heap burning coals on his head. What in the world does that mean? It means you're going to get that person's attention. That's what it means. You put burning coals on my hand, you get my attention. And he says, you're going to get someone's attention, though, not by doing evil, but by doing good. And he says, and even in the church, we don't pretend like wrong things don't happen. We don't pretend like everybody is an angel with a halo on. We know people are going to make mistakes and people are going to do wrong. And sometimes we need to show them mercy. Just the way we've been shown mercy. And we're going to take that mercy, we're going to pass it on. We're not going to excuse. And there are certain things we need to be held accountable for, and certain things that elders in a church have to hold people accountable for. But as much as it depends on me personally, I'm going to try to live at peace with everyone, and even when I've been wounded, rather than punching in the gut, rather than the silent treatment, if that person's hungry, feed them. We had somebody come to one of our staff ministers a few years ago. Our staff minister's name was Greg. And they came to him and they said, hey, Mr. Greg, we're having a problem with one of our neighbors. They're kind of new in the neighborhood, and they're being really, really difficult. And these people were wonderful, very peaceable people. What should we do here? Well, Greg read this scripture to them, and he said, here's my recommendation. I think you should bake them a cake and take it to them. And he said, now don't lace it with anything. Don't lace it with anything. A real, legitimate, tasty cake, and you return good for evil. Somebody said years ago that maturity is going from a thin skin and a hard heart to a thick skin and a soft heart. That's the kind of person I want you to be. I believe that's the kind of person God's calling us to be. You're not so prickly and offended personally by every little thing. You have a thick skin, but you have a soft heart, and you're willing to go that last 2% in the body of Christ to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Because in view of God's mercy, we can take it and pass it along. And listen, why? Why? Because in doing so, we create an environment and we create an atmosphere. God does it, but we create, by His love and mercy, an atmosphere and an environment where God is free to show up and rescue unbelievers, nurture younger believers, take children and teenagers and have them grow up in a healthy, supportive, loving, grace and truth-filled environment. And God says, if you'll aim to do this, I'll help you. You can do it. You read Romans 12 and these statements about relating to one another in a beautiful way, and you say, well, I don't think I can do that. You can't do that. Not in your own power. But the Lord will help. So I close with a little story from Barbara Glanz. Barbara Glanz is a corporate consultant, and she was speaking to over 3,000 frontline workers at a supermarket chain. And she was talking to them about the power of influence and how one person in choosing to relate well can have such a powerful influence on others. Well, about a month or so after that presentation, she got a call. I'm just going to read her words. She said, I got a call from a frontline customer contact person. He was a 19-year-old bagger, sacker, named Johnny. And Johnny proudly informed me that he had Down syndrome. And he told me his story. He said, Barbara, I really liked what you talked about, but I just didn't think I could do anything special for our customers. After all, I'm just a bagger. But he said, I had an idea. I decided that every night when I would come home from work, I'd find a really good thought for the day, for the next day. And if I couldn't find one someplace, I'd just make one up with my mom or dad. And then every night, my dad and I would sit down at the computer and we would type out that happy good thought about six times on a sheet, and I'd print off 50 pages. And then I'd take a pair of scissors and I'd cut up all the little sayings and I'd sign my name, you know, Johnny, on it. And then the next day at work, when I would sack somebody's groceries, I'd put that saying in the last bag, top of the last bag. And I would say, hey, I put a little note there for you. I hope it helps you have a good day. Thanks for coming in. So that was Johnny the bagger. Well, a month later, Barbara got a call from that particular store manager and said, you won't believe what's happened in our grocery store. Johnny has taken your counsel to heart. And, you know, he puts the little saying in. He tells him he wants them to have a good day. And he's ramping up the atmosphere and temperature in the store. And his checkout line, it's like 3-4 times longer than anyone else. The other day, I made an announcement over the line speaker. We're opening up additional lines. Nobody wanted to move. They said, we want to be in Johnny's line here. And the manager said, people in our floral department used to have a broken flower and throw it away. Now what they do, they take it, and they're going through the store, and they'll find an elderly lady or young girl, and pin it on. The guys who are responsible for our shopping carts, they're actually working to make sure the wheels go in line. That they all work and they actually go in symmetry together. Anybody in this room can be Johnny the beggar. Anybody? When you take the mercies of God and pass them along in tangible, practical ways to one other person at a time, good things happen. Okay. Why don't you be standing, please? I'm going to lead us in prayer, and then we're going to have a song. During this song, this is a good time where if you have a prayer request, or if this is a moment where perhaps some of you have been considering your next step of baptism, and this is a good time to make sure that you can let the leaders of this church know. And if this is one of your first times here, and you're early in your pursuit of Jesus, just know this is a church. There are a lot of people here be willing to help you. They can't read your mind. Can't read your mind. But if you'll let one of the leaders here know, there are people here that would love to sit down with you with an open Bible, talk to you about the love of God. You might not think the Lord loves you. He adores you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. He loves you. And there are leaders here that would love to walk you through that story. Okay? Let's pray. Father God, how we thank you for your mercy and your grace to us. And I ask that you bless this church and bless all of us as we take that mercy and pass it along one life at a time. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.